Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've been talking about it with the FanDuel reads, but you got five straight nights of playoff football starting tonight, of course, with Notre Dame and Penn State, and it's 7:30. The kickoff will probably be more like 7:42 or something like that.
I think the real national championship game is the game, the other game.
Ohio State, Texas?
Yeah, I think
Cotton
that's
Bowl.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, I think it's going to be Ohio State and Notre Dame in the final.
Okay.
What do you think?
I like Notre Dame, and Ohio State is tough to pick against. I'd love to say something differently, but I'm in love with that Jeremiah Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that he is going to be...
But they have a number of receivers on that team.
Of course, but...
Hey, folks, I love college football.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, the other thing is that you have... I mean, you have really good defenses in this game, this Penn State-Notre Dame game. It's probably going to be a lower scoring game, I would think, somewhere in the 20s. Or the other game, the Ohio State and Texas game, there's just too many great athletes on offense, on both, really, for and defense for that matter. But the two tackles on Texas are awesome. The two edge rushers for Penn State are awesome. You know, there's a lot of great players. So if you are an NFL scout, these games are great games to be a part of and to go watch.
I remember having to go over to Ocean Beach to the Great Island Mermaid with our buddy Scotty Hirsch to judge a burlesque show on a Saturday in the fall. And, of course, had a couple of cocktails, took the ferry back, didn't have to drive, ended up at a local establishment in Sayville where I watched Notre Dame lose to Northern Illinois.
Yep.
And I said, wow, their season's over.
Well, I guess I was wrong about that. Marcus Freeman called the head coach of Northern Illinois. I guess after the game, they had a conversation. And then I think the Northern Illinois coach said, hey, if you want me to tell you how we beat you and why we beat you, I'd be more than happy to give you your own scouting report that we had on you.
Yeah.
And to his credit, Marcus Freeman called the head coach of Northern Illinois.
Yeah, you got
to
be.
I'll tell you what, if I were Marcus Freeman, I'd try to hire that head coach and come work for me.
Yeah, for sure.
I was just thinking, like, that is an amazing thing that, and for Marcus, not to be so egotistical, to think that he couldn't call a guy that just beat him and wanted to know what they did to beat them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to have humility. You have to check your ego at the door, all of those things.
Right, and you know, when Brian Kelly left Notre Dame, you remember when they announced that Marcus Freeman was taking over, mm-hmm. and you remember the players in the locker room, how they reacted
to
that?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely loved it, yeah.
That is hitting right on the right spot. As
it's
far
a good-looking man,
concerned.
Too. Great-looking man. Tight shirt, pecs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, very handsome.
You got the chiseled facial features.
Yeah. See, this is what I keep talking to you about, guys on the sideline and the look that they have.
Damn right.
There is something to be said about that.
I'd love to wake up and look like Marcus Freeman tomorrow. I just walk around like the cock of the walk. That's what I would do.
Well, you're not a bad-looking guy.
I didn't say I was, but Marcus Freeman's much better-looking, much better shape.
I would agree with you. That's
and he's got
100%
the,
agreement.
Like, I'd love to be able to, like, wear that tight shirt like he wears that tight shirt, have those pecs, and not have the man boobies. I'd just love to do that. But it's not going to happen because I don't want to put the work in to do that. I don't want to lift the weights. Did I hear, Fleegs, that you're going to this game? Did you say that? Did I miss that?
Somewhere? No, you did. I'm driving to LaGuardia right after Al wraps up the podcast.
How about that?
Good for you, Fleegs. I like that.
He's a big Penn State guy, of course, as we know. He's wearing his little quarter-zip Penn State shirt in there. Michael Fliegelman. So who's going to be working with us tomorrow?
Russ Cohn is in.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. All right. Look at you. So what do you... Did this cost more or less money than a Taylor Swift excursion?
Oh, significantly less.
Significantly less.
Because, I mean, flights about the same, all travel about the same, tickets... Much, much cheaper to go to the Orange Bowl.
Now, are you going with your wife? Are you going with JJ? What are you doing?
I'm going with my wife, my sister, and a friend. My wife is already down there. My parents are down there. They're going sitting in separate seats. They have a place in Fort Lauderdale.
Like
it's why the trip is doable.
Penn State are like a cult.
Well, they're already down there. They have a place down there, so they're just going because they happen to be in Fort Lauderdale already.
Yeah.
And then my wife is down there. She flew yesterday, and I'm going down, and my sister is flying like, I think, an hour before me.
The Fliegelmans take Miami.
I will say that these four schools that are in the Final Four, they all have the same attributes from their fan base.
Sure.
Like how passionate they are about their teams.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, all right, Fleegs, now if you go down there, I don't know where Penn State ranks in your pecking order of fandom, but you go down there, your entire family there, spend the money, the tickets, and they lose this game. Is that completely devastating to you?
It depends on how they lose, because I'm happy to be there. You know, they made it into their first playoff appearance. They got to the semifinals, so they've had a good, successful season. But, you know, if they embarrass themselves, which I don't think it'll happen, I'll be really ticked off. But at the same time, I say I like a close loss, but in the moment, that'll bother me more. But I think I'd get over it
faster. If they win, do you go to the national championship game?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, I already talked to David about that, yeah.
Wow, look at you. By the way, one other thing about the Cotton Bowl tomorrow. Apparently, they're calling for snow in Dallas, and they have the worst snow and ice removal
in the world because they're not prepared
for it.
I was there for that.
Right, and it was the Super Bowl back in the 2010 season, February of 2011. It was the Steelers and the Packers, and the entire city was crippled because of the wintry mix that they had on the ground. So that could be, it's not going to be an issue for the players or anything or the game, because we know Jerry's World is not going to have an issue with that. But if you're down there and you're going to that game, it could be absolute
hopefully,
hell.
You know, somebody would prepare and get at least some snow melt.
Yeah, I don't think they do down there.
I don't know.
Let's go
to Pat in New Paltz. Patty, what's happening?
Well, Gio, what's going on, fellas?
What up, Pat?
Hey, listen, Gio, don't be so hard on yourself comparing yourself to Marcus Freeman. Your peanut butter skin is glowing.
Thank you very much. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Although the deeper we get into winter, I'm losing my peanut butter skin. I'm looking more like Boomer. But, August, I've really got that peanut butter skin. I appreciate that, Pat.
Yeah, brighter days ahead. So, hey, listen, I had a buddy take a flight out of Newark yesterday to Miami. He's going to the game tonight, too. And Joe Shane was on the flight. He was sitting first class. And my buddy, you know, he doesn't hesitate to say things. He's, he's definitely a little mouthy. And he said, "What's up, Joe? I hope you're going down to scout Abdul Carter. Hopefully turn this organization around." And Joe replied to him and said, "What, you don't like Drew, as in Drew Aller, the quarterback?" And all of us know what he hasn't declared for the draft yet, but Joe insinuated that he may be declaring for the draft, and that's who he's going down to watch.
Yeah, so, which is kind of, are you a Penn State fan, Pat, or no?
I sure am, Boomer.
All right, so you know the whole story about the backup quarterback, Bo Pribula, who ended up having to transfer before all this college football stuff started to Missouri, and I believe the reason he left is because Drew Allers told your head coach, Franklin, that, look, I'm coming back, and I bet you Penn State gave him some money to stay for his senior season. If he declares for the draft, that means he is basically going to screw Penn State Nation.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time Penn State Nation got screwed, but, listen, I'm just relaying a message, and, one way or another, we're excited for tonight's game, and if Drew's on Joe's radar for this upcoming draft, then, I think that beats Cam Warden, standards any day.
Yeah. I understand that. And Drew has all the size specifications that you want. He's actually had a really great career at Penn State. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, which I love. But I just think because of what happened and the way that, Coach Franklin was reacting to losing his backup quarterback, because the backup quarterback had to make a decision.
It's Pribula, by the way.
Pribula? I don't know. whatever.
Well, I'm telling you, it's not. Okay. You do know it's Beulah.
But so Fleegs, you're a Penn State fan. You knew this whole story and how it went down and how I think Coach Franklin thought it really screwed up his team because just in case something happened to Drew Allers, he would want to have his backup quarterback there.
Yeah, well, it put them in a position where if Drew got hurt during the postseason, they're kind of screwed. The whole situation, you know, with the transfer portal opening when all these teams at the time were still, there were 12 playoff teams that were still playing games and dealing with transfers.
By the way, I don't feel sorry for any of these teams because they screw teams like my team, Maryland, because they steal players off of the team and they actually actively recruit them actually when they're playing games.
So that's fair. We've talked about this. The NCAA let this whole thing go way too far, so now there are no guardrails, no nothing. But listen, if Drew leaves because he hears, hey, you'll be picked in the top three of the NFL draft, as much as Penn State would be screwed, nobody should be getting mad at a 21-year-old kid for making that decision.
They will. Nobody's rational with that. And by the way, this is a little message to Joe Shane. Don't turn into Rob Saleh. Joe Shane likes to talk. He seems to like to talk. And I'm taking this guy at his word that this happened, but I can totally believe that situation.
Less than 24 hours later, it ended up on WFAN and CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, it's just like if a guy's talking to you on a plane, don't tell him anything about what you're thinking or what you're doing. Just be like, hey, man, of course going down there to scout the best football players in college. Of course, that's what I'm supposed to do. Hey, what are you guys doing? Huh? What's going on with you?
And I'm sure he'll be going to the Cotton Bowl, assuming he can get into the Cotton Bowl.
Right.
By the way, why isn't he on the giant private jet with all the scouts? That's what I would think. The other thing, too, Fleegs, I mean, were there any reports that Penn State was paying Drew Allers to come back for his senior year?
Well, not officially. I'm sure somebody's paying him, whether it's the university. Somebody, I'm sure, greased his palm a little bit for him to come back. But he did say, after the Bo news dropped, he did put out a post saying that his plan was to return to school for his senior year. But it was worded very carefully. Not, I definitely am staying, that his plan was to return, kind of leaving the door open for the run that they are so far on and could continue.
I guess if he goes and takes the team to the national championship and then is told that he's going to be a first-round pick in the NFL, he's got to go.
I agree with you.
If they lose, like say they lose tonight, and it doesn't go well for him, going back for a senior year, then he'll be a top-10 pick next year.
Yes, but there's also the hedge of if they lose but he plays really well in a weak quarterback draft, he might still get that, you know, back-channeled word from Joe Shane or somebody else, like, don't worry, there's no way you're slipping out of the top 10. And in that case, I think he goes, and I think you have to.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think he's ready. I think, you know, he made such great strides from last year to this year.
Yeah.
I think he needs that again. But,
he's
you know, how do you turn that down?
Isn't he, like, really young, too? Isn't he, like, 20 years old?
That hasn't worked out a lot. We saw Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson do that.
But I don't know how he's got 3 years of college.
And he didn't play much as a freshman because Sean Clifford, his predecessor, kind of unexpectedly stayed another season. He could have transferred. He stayed, and he started the last 2 years.
I'll tell you, the other guy everybody's down there looking at is Ty Warren.
Oh, 20 years old. Warren's incredible.
I mean, he's got to be. I would think he would be a top 10 pick.
I don't know about top 10. He'll definitely be a first-round pick. He's a matchup nightmare.
Yes, he is. He is absolutely everything that the NFL would want at his position. And probably, I'm assuming, a great kid.
He seems like it from all indications. And whereas some other Penn State tight ends to go to the NFL the last few years are great receivers, maybe not great blockers, Warren is all around. He can do everything.
Yeah.
Listen, he can snap the ball. He can throw it. He can catch it. He can snap the ball and catch a touchdown on the same play, which he's done this year. He's unreal.
So if Drew Aller comes out and you've got three teams at the top of the draft that could be wanting quarterbacks. Do we go 1, 2, 3 again two years in a row?
That could happen depending on how Drew Aller plays in these games. I mean, obviously, like I was telling you about Sam Darnold in these games. And by the way, I was going to ask you this. If they do move that Monday night game to Arizona, does that bode well for Sam Darnold and the Vikings? Or do you think it doesn't have really much impact?
I think it has more impact on the Rams just because of the, you know, comfort and being at home and all of those things that comes with that.
So more of a negative
than a positive for the Vikings. They're still going on the road. It's still in a foreign place. You know, there also could have been a ton of Viking fans going to that game. I mean, you see it more with the Chargers and you see with the Rams, but a lot of visiting fans take over SoFi. So,
people who live in L.A., that are from Minnesota that are Vikings fans.
Yeah,
come
true.
Out, or, you know, in the surrounding area. I can't even imagine. It pales in comparison to the actual tragedy that's going
on.
I
know.
But the amount of people that probably had bought tickets, airline tickets, hotel rooms, and everything else that now have to, you know, unfortunately cancel everything, I would assume. And that's the other thing why the NFL has got to make a decision quickly here, because there are people that, you know, support their teams, want to go and see their team play on the road. And I'm sure, I don't know, what do you think? There's probably travel packages coming out of Minneapolis.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, they got a great fan base out there. We know that people move from these cities as well, these cold weather cities. So, yeah, I would expect that. It's just hard, not to sound like a total wuss, but like it's hard. Seeing some of this stuff that I'm seeing, it's hard to even think about like the advantage for a particular team. I mean, I think, quite frankly, that the Rams could be emotionally charged in a way that we've seen from other teams when their city has gone through a tragedy. You know, I mean, hell, you saw the New Orleans Saints almost pull off a miracle down in Tampa. That team was getting their asses kicked every week leading up, couldn't score a point, and then was leading 80% of that game down in Tampa in a must-win game. They almost won that game. Obviously, the most famous one was the Superdome after Katrina, where they beat the Atlanta Falcons, the Steve Gleason block punt.
Yeah, I did that game.
Yeah, so, I mean, there.
That game was, man, the emotions in that building after Katrina, oof.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if the game is moved or not moved, I think the emotion of that being their city and playing for their city while this is going on could be more of a factor than anything.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So one of my favorite things to do is to bring up these things on, like, sitting around the Portly Villager and ask people, like, the most famous of any particular country or nationality or whatever. So there's been hotly debated ones.
Uh-oh.
Very hotly debated ones.
All right.
And one of the most hotly debated is the most famous lesbian to ever live. So
who's debating this?
Me people and my friends, and yeah, this is so.
Did you put that out there at the Portly Villager?
Yes,
or you
yes.
Did?
I've come up with this. I have my answers. I've been swayed on a couple of them. I have been. Like, there's been a few. Like the Italian one, I was swayed on. Someone came up with a better one than I had. So, like, for example, most famous Italian.
All right, but it has to be pure Italian.
Pure Italian, like some pure Italian. Pure Italian.
Well, Mussolini for maybe all, so,
right.
all so, the wrong reasons.
Right. So Mussolini was my number one. Someone came in on top of me with something, and I said, you know what? You're right. So now I've got Mussolini too.
With Julius Caesar, what?
No, Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, there.
Leonardo da Vinci.
See, this is a good discussion point. Let's get back to the lesbians.
Okay, get back to the lesbians. Okay. So this is hotly debated. So, I mean, let's just go around. Al, most famous lesbian.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Fleeks.
I'm with Al. Ellen.
CeeLo.
Billie Jean King. Ellen would be number two.
All right. See,
I say Martina Navratilova.
No. See, I think Billie Jean King more famous lesbian tennis player than Martina.
I just think there were more people paying attention to what Martina was doing. I know that Billie Jean was a trailblazer. Don't get me wrong, but I just for some reason I feel like Martina has just been so active.
See, Billie Jean King and the Battle of the Sexes and that whole thing. I mean, that was a huge deal like that.
But was she an out lesbian in her prime? That's a good question.
But right. I don't know that matters.
How about Justin Trudeau?
All right. No, he's not a part of that conversation. So, all right. I mean, listen, I don't think there's a real wrong answer. I mean, I could see both, but I'm more of a Billie Jean King guy than an Ellen guy, but I don't think you could go wrong.
And she's stayed very relevant even in current day. You know,
she
you
might have the most famous coming out moment, too.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I could be swayed on that one.
She might also be meanest lesbian from what we hear.
I'm sure there's a ton of them.
I think I have an answer for that one, but I'd rather not throw it out there.
Since you brought up Trudeau, most famous Canadian.
I got one for this one.
Wayne Gretzky.
No.
Bryan Adams.
No,
Jim Carrey?
No.
These are all better good. Than Gretzky? That's pretty damn good.
He's the great one.
Yeah, I know, but I'm telling you, hockey, not everybody's a sports fan. Oh, I'm applying that. I think especially this person leans into their Canadian.
super leans into it. These are all good answers. Jim Carrey, good answer.
I mean, Brian Adams. Tell me Billie Jean King transcends sports. Wayne Gretzky definitely transcends
sports. But I think I got a better one. Celine Dion. And she's freaking Canadian.
She is Canadian.
French Canadian.
That, and she is someone who is super Canadian.
No, she's raised millions of dollars super for cystic fibrosis research. Yeah.
So, I mean, these are not bad answers, but for me, Celine Dion over Gretzky.
I wish there was a way to, you can't have Al throw a poll up because most of our listeners are sports fans. Wayne Gretzky versus Celine Dion, most famous Canadian. I'm curious.
Could it be a 50-50 situation?
What the general public
I think Gio's right because more people are just, an average person is going to know music over sports. As much as Gretzky transcends, everybody alive
Titanic
in the last 50
movie.
Years.
Come Even on. My wife, who is the least sports fan you'll find, knows all about Wayne Gretzky.
I and know about me. Him, but it doesn't mean that, I mean, she'll know more about Celine Dion.
But if I, I don't know about that.
When we take over Canada, he may end up being, that's how big he is.
The governor of Canada.
All right, so do you have any other ones?
I got a ton of them, yeah. Since we did lesbian, how about gay man? Most famous gay man. I'm very, very confident in this one.
Famous gay man.
Very, very confident in this one. You could not sway me on this one.
Andy Cohen.
I like that answer. More contemporary.
You've given this a lot of thought.
Must
be nice to have that kind of time on your hands.
Well, I mean, or a functional brain.
Okay.
It's not about time. It's just about thinking.
Well, I mean, you're spending all this time at the Portland Village. You guys have time.
I think I have it. Elton John.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, that's...
Elton John.
Yeah.
Liberace's up there. Elton John's the answer.
I think it would be hard to argue with that one.
Elton John's the answer. Let's see if I got... All right.
Let's go, lesbians. Let's go. Let's go, lesbians. Let's go.
What are we doing here?
Come on. You guys don't know Billy on the Street?
Oh, that's right, that guy. Yeah, yeah, I do know that.
A very famous gay man.
Right, yeah, I just don't know.
Not Elton John's level,
right. I'll give you a bit of a controversial one that I have an answer for.
Because what we've done so far,
it's not controversial, I don't think. I mean, most famous Mexican.
Oh, boy. As the architect walks in.
does he have a... It's perfect. Most famous Mexican of all time.
Here we go.
Pablo Escobar.
No, he's Colombian.
How about that comedian, Fluffy?
I don't even know who that is.
I don't even know who Fluffy is. Who's Fluffy?
Gabriel Iglesias. I know him. He's not the most famous Mexican.
Yeah.
Pancho Villa.
It's a great one. It's a great one.
Couldn't even venture.
I have one.
Of course you do. Because you've been thinking about this.
Right. He's got his power rankings.
You want to hear it, or you want to keep guessing? By the way, El Chapo's worked his way into the top five.
Oh, yes. Where's Cheech?
Cheech Marin? Yeah, I'm not sure exactly his full nationality, if he's Mexican or not, but Montezuma. Far be a more famous Mexican than Montezuma.
Okay.
He had his revenge. Everybody talks about
that. Yes, exactly.
Cheech Marin's American, by the way.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. Yeah. So say bye. Can you beat Pancho Villa over Montezuma?
Well, no, I mean, I don't necessarily know that all people know that Montezuma is named after somebody. That they may think it's named after a city or a fort or something else like that.
I thought it was a city.
Yeah.
Okay, but still famous. But now that you know.
Now that you know.
Yeah. Like that one's there. Did he come in here to tell us to stop doing that? Or?
No, I don't think he was listening. Oh,
based on his face, he had no idea what we were talking about.
Right. So he gave me like a thing, I wasn't sure.
The timing was perfect.
Yeah, once he heard what it was, he gave you the...
All right.
And quickly left, by the way.
most famous Norwegian.
See, this is...
I have not thought about this one. Leif Erikson?
Yeah.
Or Leif Erikson?
Yeah. Yeah, see, this is...
Most famous German.
Well, it's Hitler. I mean, yeah. It's got to be. It has to be. Unfortunately, it has to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's... All right. Somebody better spit this out right away.
Oh, no.
Most famous Frenchman.
Charles de Gaulle.
Napoleon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Napoleon.
Yeah. That's... That's why I would have went as well.
You know what? I'm stuck watching this show right now called Rogue Heroes for all the guys that I'm throwing out there having to be attached like World War II.
Yeah, well, yes. World War II is a big, like, for example, my number two Chinese person is Mao Zedong.
Yeah.
My number two.
Who's your number one?
Well, I told you guys in the break.
Well, tell everybody else.
Do you have a guess there, CeeLo?
No, I don't. I have not. I mean, I have to really sit and think about this. You've clearly put a lot of time and effort into coming up with these rankings.
I have.
Yeah, I can tell.
Confucius is the answer.
Oh.
Confucius.
Okay.
Yeah. So Greek would be very, very difficult. We're going way back.
A lot of years to cover.
All right. So if you did this right now, at this moment in time, only taking people that are living.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Which question?
Well, let's say, who is the most famous white person in the world right now?
I think the architect's on his way back down right now.
I mean, you would probably say Donald Trump.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right.
Also, most famous orange person.
You know what? That you know. Now that I've exhausted all of the most famous of all time, I'm gonna.
But have to do that. You could do that by centuries. You could do that by right now at this moment.
Living, yeah.
Most of them probably would be political figures, I would believe.
A lot of them, yes. But I mean, it depends the categories, you know. Like, we have a most famous living gay man right now, most famous living lesbian.
Yes.
Right, we have those living. But, you know, political figures living, not necessarily, because Canadian Celine Dion living, Australian to me Nicole Kidman living.
Is Canada's most famous person not being a political figure kind of an argument for them being absorbed by America?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
An argument for being absorbed, yes.
Absorbed.
Yeah, this is why we decided to absorb Canada. And this was before they were absorbed. Because once they were there, it was North America, you had Canada, you had the United States, but then, you know, they were absorbed. One big landmass.
All right. So,
would you like me to attempt to begin here?
I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. I don't have a strong take on that. Now I'm thinking more about like who's the most famous living Chinese man
right now?
Yao Ming.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
No, I would say Xi, President Xi. It's got to be.
It
affects geopolitical situations all over the globe.
How many people are locked in on that, though?
Locked in on Xi?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about China all the time.
Yeah. China.
With the drones and everything else, the spy balloon coming across.
Yao did those awesome Yao Yo commercials.
Yeah. I think Yao would be up there.
I mean, yeah,
for the common everyday person.
All right, let's say both of them line up.
They're at a table.
Give autographs. Whose line is longer? Okay. Yao Ming or Xi?
Well, Xi's right, height, by the way.
I got one for you. Yeah. And I'm sure you've done this.
Okay.
All right. The most famous black man.
Living or not living?
Jeez. All right. I would say of all time.
Of all time. See, I've done this one for sure.
Of all time?
Yeah. So my answer is Martin Luther King Jr. However, I went to Brian Jones on this because I feel like I worked with him for 3 years and his knowledge, I'm not being funny. Yeah, his knowledge of black history is more than anybody I've ever met.
Okay.
And he told me that it was Muhammad Ali.
I'm saying Nelson Mandela. But you went to an expert.
I did. And I'm not just because he's black, because he's well versed in black history.
But the point being, all right, so that's in history. How about right now? LeBron James?
If we include worldwide fame,
yes.
I'll give you a name that's up there. Blockbuster movies that aired everywhere, Will Smith. Everybody alive knows who Will Smith is.
I watched the movie of Will Smith last night.
How about that? Which one?
Focus.
Okay.
I can't believe you actually brought that up.
I mean, he's an A-list actor.
Yeah, I know.
Not that uncommon.
Slept.
Let's say you go to like Uzbekistan and you hold up a picture of Will Smith and LeBron James. Are there more people that know Will Smith than LeBron?
100% yes.
I don't know about that.
I would say in Asia, I would say more people. I kind of feel like, I don't know, man. They knew who Tung Speedman was. In the jungles. Southeast Asia.
Oh, God. Well, wait a second. Michael Jordan.
I was waiting for his name to come up.
I said LeBron because I would think that he, because of social media and everything else, it's everywhere.
Contemporary.
Yes.
He's more in out there right now than Jordan is. You see him a lot more than you do Michael Jordan currently.
Yeah, but I mean,
depends on what your age is. I mean, there's a lot of people walking the earth now that, you know, didn't live through Michael Jordan. All over the world.
True. It's debatable. It's definitely debatable. But Will Smith's a good one. Is there another one? Denzel Washington?
I'm a huge Denzel guy.
What about President Obama?
Damn, how did it take us that long to think of that?
Well, I've been thinking about him for a lot of these scenarios that you're giving me, but I just haven't had a chance to go in front.
Man.
Yeah.
That's got to be the answer. That has to be it. It has to be. Two-term U.S. president? Has to be. I mean, those other ones are good answers, but it's got to be. I mean, that was a silly one. We didn't think of that.
But
see what happens when you do it on the spot?
See, I still say that Chris has a point here, and so does Fleeks, in a sense that, I don't know, it was like 2% of the country is into politics. And when you think about music kind of spans all facets of society.
Pop
communities
culture.
And pop culture.
I'll give you one, Diddy.
Maybe now, for all other reasons.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of people talking about it. I mean, if we're putting Mussolini on these lists, you got to think about the negatives, you know?
Yeah, no, unfortunately.
Yeah, all right.
How the hell am I going to condense this down into one moment of the day? That's what's on my mind right now.
All right, well, go get going.
All right, well, all of that was brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Can I revise something real quick?
Of course.
So we were doing famous German people. We both said Hitler. You know, Hitler was Austrian.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Albert Einstein.
Yeah, I mean, that is impossible to argue, right?
Is Hasselhoff German?
David Hasselhoff.
It's Einstein.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you, though, I mean, it's
German descent.
I mean, everybody in the history books knows of the atrocities of Hitler, but also Arnold Schwarzenegger being Austrian is, I mean, he...
Yeah, well, we didn't talk about famous Austrians.
We did not, but now we are.
Yes.
Because we had to make a revision there. But yeah, so there you go. I feel pretty good about our lists.
I think so. I think we've been pretty accurate.
Yeah. I mean, and with history and also famous living people. It's not easy, though. Right off the top of the head.
I could see, you know, good arguments going back and forth on all the different candidates.
Yeah. That's why I started with the most famous lesbian, because I don't think you could really go wrong there with either Billie Jean King or Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, I think Elton John was, you got to believe that pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, he is, he's enjoyed by everybody.
Someone told me on X here that Freddie Mercury, they thought, was a more famous gay man than Elton John.
It's pretty powerful.
Was, not yeah. is.
Well, yeah, but we're talking, if you're talking history, I don't know. I still think it's Elton John.
Elton's still around and, like, still putting stuff out.
He is.
And, you know, and Queen was obviously huge with Freddie Mercury. Who's got more platinum records?
Freddie Mercury is also part of a band. He's part of Queen. Elton John is Elton John.
True.
See, these are the arguments that you get yourself into at the Portly Villager.
This is how when guys go hang out with friends for 4 hours and you go back to your wife, how's this guy doing? I don't know. What do you guys do for 4 hours? This?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those classic things, or play cornhole on the back deck for money, you know? Like, this is those memes where it's like, you know, you have the woman sitting there and it's like, he's probably cheating on me, and then you see what he's really doing, going like... Elton John, definitely more famous gay guy than Freddie Mercury. Let's go outside, play $20 a game cornhole, and bet this random college basketball game. That's what we're doing.
going to be huge Oregon Ducks fans for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The Matt Nagy interview, I was not thinking that this guy would be even considered, but there's Jet fans all over the place that love the idea of him, two of which work here, and Mike Fliegelman and Peter Schwartz.
He was close in Chicago. He got it close, and then all of a sudden it collapsed again because it's Chicago. And he has been back around Andy Reid. He knows how to run a team. He obviously was a big part of Patrick Mahomes' initial success. One of the reasons why he ended up getting that job was because of Alex Smith had success. You know, but Andy Reid's the guy that, you know, much like Bill Belichick is the guy. You know, Doug Peterson came off of Andy Reid's staff. He had success. Like, you could see, I could understand why they should interview him. I'm sure the agent who is representing him is representing a number of these people that are getting all these interviews. And the agent may be tied into Mike Tannenbaum, for all I know, or Rick Spielman,
yeah,
who are running the 33rd team, which is helping a lot of these teams try to figure out who should be their next head coach.
So, if you're Matt Nagy, do you go up to Andy Reid and go, how long are you going to be doing this?
He's not stepping down. As long as Patrick Mahomes is playing, Andy Reid is coaching. I don't care what anybody says. He loves it. His wife loves it. He's had some off-the-field issues with his kids, unfortunately. But this is his life. This is his work. And much like we were talking about Bill Belichick when he was up there in New England, you know, you want to talk about one of the all-time great head coaches. That's where Andy Reid is, you know, ascending to very rapidly.
Wins three in a row. Huh. Thinks maybe I could walk away happy with this.
No, not him. He's making a lot of money now. He's doing commercials with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, his life is fulfilled. I mean, this is like, so John Gruden would be like Andy Reid. You know, mm-hmm. this is what he wants to do. This is his calling in life. He wants to go back and he wants to get involved and he wants to be a coach. And a lot of these coaches that have this success or this level of success, which there are very few and far between, as we know, and have it on a consistent basis, have all the ducks lined up for him. He had it in Philadelphia, and now he has it in Kansas City. I do not see him stepping down anytime soon unless there's a health issue associated with him.
Do you say Nagy or Nagy?
I say Nagy.
I say Nagy, too, but other people say Nagy. But I'm going to go with Nagy. All right, so 2018, they were 12-4.
Yeah.
His first season there. Then 8-8, 8-8, and then 6-11 in
Chicago. They were close. They just couldn't get over the hump. And you remember, that's the Aaron Rodgers years.
Sure.
The 12-4 year was also the double doink game. That kick goes in. He wins a playoff game.
That
with
was
Trubisky.
Against Philadelphia, if I remember, yeah. At Chicago.
And it was the year after the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Right. Was it Eddie Pinheiro who did that? Was that the kicker?
I want to say Cody Parkey, but I couldn't.
Cody Parkey. Cody yes. Parkey. Okay.
Yeah, that was the answer. Yeah, I know. I guess for whatever reason, when, you know, a head coach gets fired like that and the end was bad and that 6-11 season, I just didn't consider it. But now looking back at it, I can convince myself that there's worse candidates than that. But I don't know his personality well enough if it fits
No, he was, you know, I think I remember doing the score when they were out there with Justin Fields and Trubisky and everything else and just talking to the fan base out there. It's always the coach's fault, regardless of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they can't get the quarterback right, and they haven't got the quarterback right. Not dissimilar here to what the Jets have gone through.
Yeah, I mean, two organizations that just can't find that guy.
So you got two coordinators from Detroit getting a lot of interviews. You got the two coordinators from Kansas City getting a lot of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it makes sense that you go to where the success is happening in the league right now, and you look at guys that maybe have some experience at the position that you're looking and interviewing for, and that's why he would make sense.
Ton of fenth.
Ton of fenth.